coffee has officially kicked in. We're feeling good. Holy guacamole. You ready, Kirk?
This Ecuadorian coffee's got me high as a kite.
Well, you don't do a lot of drugs, do you? Okay, I'm Graham Kay, and I'm with Kirk Smith. This is the podcast where we talk about living with autism.
I'm straight edge Kirk Smith.
You are a bit straight edge. I've seen you have a couple beers here and there.
I've been known to imbibe a little, yes.
Yeah, whatever. We're just getting into it. Come on.
All right.
What are we going to talk about? So we have three segments today. The first we're going to do in the news, where we basically talk about, you know, autism, what's like happened recently over the past week in the news, or whatever stuff that we found. And then we're going to do the
topic du jour.
Topic du jour. And the topic du jour, thank you. That's what a good partner does. You know, you fill in. You just save me, man. Oh, it was going to be such a... It was going to be such bad audio for me going, ah. All right. The topic du jour is... how would you describe it? You're the father here.
Being fair to your children. You're autistic and you're... Whatever you want to describe it. Cognitively... regular child.
Right, dividing your time, allocating your energy.
Energies, resources, love,
you feel
affection.
Like, does it affect the child which is not autistic, the so-called the able-minded, non-disabled, non-mentally challenged
I call
child.
Them regular, but some people don't like that.
Probably.
Yeah, regular.
Yeah. Well,
regular, run-of-the-mill, whatever.
That's another discussion. Run-of-the-mill, that's funny. Yeah, that's another discussion.
What does regular mean? Agreed.
Yeah. Non-autistic child, and like, is it fair to the non-autistic child? You have a gifted child. We'll get into it.
I'm going to come at it from the father's point of view.
Yeah.
You're going to come at it from the sibling's point of view.
I'm
going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. And if you haven't heard this podcast before, my brother is autistic, and Kirk's 16-year-old son is autistic. Okay. And then we're going to do the weekly roundup, like what's new each week. Kirk or I are going to talk about something that happened this past week, or something that happened that reminds us of something that happened in the past with our family member. Okay, so, boom. First up, the news.
We should get like a little music graphic for
this. We're going to.
Okay, obviously.
And now we have to edit this. It's going to sound so unprofessional, because we're going to have it. And then you're like, we should get a thing.
We could do it right over me. Just dub it right over my stupid voice.
No, man. Keep it in. This is just raw and uncut. Like my non-Jewish penis. Okay. Why would I say that?
Because your mom's listening.
Why would I
say
that?
You want to make her proud.
Oh, it's so gross. I hate the word uncut.
Uncut penis or just uncut?
Uncut. It's so gross to me. Anyway.
Are we still talking about circumcision? Or are you talking about audio? Okay, got it.
Oh, my God. What am I doing? My life. Okay. All right. In the news. Da, 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 da. Autism news.
Da, 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 da.
So basically, there is a former CNN anchor.
Oh, we play CNN's music. Sorry.
This is CNN.
This is
talking about autism. I was Darth Vader. Lauren Thierry, former CNN anchor. She has an autistic kid. He's 17 years old.
I believe you so far.
And she noticed over 17 years that it was taking a long time to get her son dressed. And this is not just something that autistic parents go through. Parents of children with many different kinds of disabilities have a lot of trouble getting dressed. It takes a long time. Can take an hour more.
Yeah,
I mean, you've dealt
sure.
with this. And so what she did is she couldn't, you know, she didn't want her kid to wear a muumuu. And that was like the only other solution.
Just cut a hole in a sheet, put it over his head. Okay.
Yeah. So she developed her own line of clothing, and the clothing you would think would look like a muumuu, but from the picture, it doesn't. It looks like regular clothing, but it's basically, it has no defined front, back, or side, and you can sort of take it apart and
smart.
It's a lot easier, and it depending on how functional your child is, it gives them independence because they can get dressed themselves.
Right.
It also has a microchip in it that helps you track your child, which, if you, on the surface, sounds
hideous.
Like, yeah, but
but I'm on board.
Yeah, if you're really in the thick of the battle and you're a parent and it's just a lot less worry and you don't have to give them an ankle bracelet or something awful like that.
I think it's terrible, but I would use it. I would use it. Yeah.
Well, why would you use it if you think it's terrible?
It's terribly frustrating that is the solution that we have. It's a little bit like when my son was little, when we used to travel a lot, we'd put him on one of those little, I know this sounds messed up, but like a harness where it's got like a leash and it's around his chest, and then he's, you know, five and he's severely autistic and he's running around, but he's attached to my hip, so he's not going far.
Right.
He's going 5 feet away, so he's going to go.
And again, he's not going to notice that that's embarrassing.
He doesn't care. Embarrassing's
that's,
not...
That's for you.
Yeah.
You think it's demeaning, but he doesn't think it's demeaning.
I don't think he thinks it's demeaning.
Yeah. I'm saying he doesn't.
Otherwise, I got to hold him by his arm.
I'm saying you having a problem with it is only affecting you. It's not affecting him.
Yeah, clearly it's affecting him. I'm justifying it 10 years later. I'm still talking about it. But yeah. Yeah, I don't think it affects him. No.
Yeah, so I went to their website. It's called Independence Day Clothing. I don't know why it's so patriotic.
Is this our first sponsor?
Yeah. Well, we could. but it looks like normal clothes to me.
You know, the other thing my son is very funny about is he's very picky about style, which is very funny. He likes solid colors.
Yeah.
And dark colors.
Oh, that's cool.
And it has to match.
It has to match. Dude's rock and roll, man.
So if it's like blue shorts, then it can be dark blue shorts. If it's blue shorts, it has to be dark blue shirt or black. He's not going to wear blue with orange. He'll do blue with yellow sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very specific about the colors he's willing to wear. Now, if he wears a SpongeBob shirt.
Right. SpongeBob pants.
SpongeBob.
Which are hard to find.
Hard to find.
Yeah. And so, I know from my research.
And for pants, all he'll wear is shorts or sweats. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No jeans, no underwear. Because jeans would be great because it goes with everything. If I get him in some jeans. But he has tactile issues. So, I'm sure those clothes address that too, the tactile issues thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. They don't really talk about that in this article from The Observer. But I don't know. It's interesting. I think the main thing that I like when I read about it is the time that parents get back.
Yeah, because when people ask me, can he dress himself? I have to say, he'll put clothes on.
Right.
It'll be inside out, front to back. You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this would fix that.
Right. Well, I guess so. I mean, yeah, because it has no defined in
There's
and out.
No front or back and no inside outside. Yeah. So
yeah.
For him, it would be... I wonder how much they cost, though. It's hard to beat those $10 sweats at Walmart.
Yeah, and really, does it matter at Walmart or inside or outside? Really?
No.
Are you helping?
You're still
hurting?
Wearing sweatpants.
No, you're still...
You're still George Costanza.
You're still
fine.
Dressed by George, which is, you know, yeah, that's a pretty good little joke in there that no one was going to get. Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's try and find the price here. Whatever. It's going to take me forever. But it's probably expensive. It's got a GPS in it. $59 for classic cargos. Yeah. So for pants, $60. That's not bad.
He's not gonna wear pants. They gotta be sweats.
Rugby shirts, $58.
I like the shirts because they look like they're sturdy. That's another thing. They gotta be sturdy construction.
Oh, yeah, these are sturdy.
There's gonna be a lot of rolling around. He likes to wrestle.
Yeah, they're all like $58. Seems like everything's $58. Dresses are $85. I don't know. It's an interesting option. Look it up. You get a GPS. You're also getting a GPS in there.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an app, too, so you can track it on your phone. That's what would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when they're little, too, you want to go to the bathroom. Your options are you drag them into the bathroom with you, or you hope he doesn't leave the house. So GPS, you'd at least know, okay, I know where he's at.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did we already talk about the story about my son running away and then the cops picking up? I think we talked about that one already. See, like in that case, if he had a GPS, we could have figured out where he was.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's just totally the type of thing that you have to be in the thick of it to
appreciate
and think of. And
I agree.
Like, this is a smart woman who's trying to figure it out, and she invented... clothing with GPS, and it's like, I'm sure someone's gonna be like, that is degrading, and they don't have an autistic child,
right?
You know, like, screw you, she's not gonna lose her kid now.
Well, yeah Sometimes I had to call child services on him because he's outside without her knowing, which has happened to us more than once.
Yeah. He just, what does he do? He just runs away?
He would run outside. This is about, I remember he'd run outside, go out in the front yard. And if you're like, okay, you're with him in the living room and you look away for a second, he literally runs outside. And then you're 10 minutes cooking lunch or whatever. You're not literally looking at him every second. Mm. Next thing you know, he's been outside 10 minutes, decides to get naked. All the neighbor sees is there's a naked boy in your front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been out there 10 minutes. Where's the parenting? So you know, you have to either have locks on the inside. We finally figured that one out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the GPS would also solve that. You know what I bet they could do? I bet they could set up like a perimeter thing. He leaves a certain area, you get a little text.
Yeah, he's naked too far that yeah, is socially acceptable from the house. Within the lawn, the neighbors, they get
it. He's allowed to be naked in his own house, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to rock out, you know what I mean?
Rock out with your...
Yeah. Well, hey.
Yeah.
the next segment is our weekly topic. All right? So do you feel like it's like, did you ever get your other child to help get your son dressed? What's your son's name?
JJ. We call him JJ. It's Jacob. We call him JJ.
Yeah. Did she ever help JJ get dressed?
A little bit. They're about the same size because she's 17, he's 16, and so, and he's a boy, so he's a little bit bigger. So we call them Irish twins, you know, they're that close in age. But you know, especially as he's getting older, it's uncomfortable for a teenage girl to help her brother with his hairy balls out to try to get him dressed. And you got to, you know, when you put his pants on, sometimes you got to get your head down there to get his pant legs on. And nobody necessarily wants that up close and personal view.
No.
So, no.
She must be so patient and cool and understanding of a person. She must be just like the coolest teenager.
Like, almost too cool in the sense that I've had to have a conversation with her where she's concerned about her brother. And I have to say, listen, one of the best ways you can serve and love your brother is to work hard and not in a harsh way, but get your life together and do something, you know, to not overly commit yourself to. I mean, one of the best ways you can, quote unquote, care for him is to live a full life and be successful and be a competent human being. And then, God forbid, when I die, whatever, my mom's side, they live forever, but my dad's side, they die at 60. But let's say they live to 80.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be 60. Your brother will be hopefully still around, and you'll have your whole life. You'll have a lot of experience. You'll have some success, and you'll be able to easily navigate these issues versus you've just taken care of him your whole life. You don't have any skills. You don't really have any friends, so you don't have infrastructures for support. You don't have... So, yeah, I've really talked to her about, really, you should invest in you at this time. This is time to invest in you the next 40 years.
Yeah.
Invest in you. Mm-hmm. Get your act together. And then when I'm dead, then if you want to, if that's, you know, don't feel any pressure. Because she's told us, oh, don't worry. When you guys die, I'll take care of them. She told me that. She's like 10. And I'm like, you don't need to worry about taking care of your disabled brother right now.
I worry about it. I'm 33. I worry about it every day.
I know, but this is my perspective. But I feel like from the dad's point of view, that's not on you. That's not your child. It's my child.
It doesn't matter, though, because the fact of life is that provided that nothing horrible happens, my parents will die before me, and then I will inherit it. I will inherit this person who needs help, who's also younger than me.
I don't disagree.
You know?
But I will say it like this. You're talking about something that... we talked about statistics earlier and chance and I think something statistically that can happen a long time from now. And so when you're 10, that's not something. When you're 10, you don't need to worry about your third mortgage you have coming down the line. Yeah, you're going to have pressure when you're older, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're 10. You don't need to think about it. And I would even argue now, when she's 17, you don't need to think about it now. You don't need to think about when you're 37 either, unless your parents are sick. Yeah, they could die in an accident. Anything can happen.
You have to start planning for it, though. I mean, I understand that what you're saying is that she's 17. Don't worry about it. I don't want her to... And you're right. She shouldn't be thinking about it. And I don't think I necessarily... I mean, it would creep up in my thoughts every now and again, but I never really spent a lot of time worrying about it until the past 5 years, maybe.
But I really think the best way to plan for it is to invest in yourself and really try to do something. And when I say yourself, I mean as the sibling. Try to do something for yourself and build something. Mm-hmm. You know, whether for us it's comedy, or for if you're an architect, build your business, or if you're a build something that you could lean on when you need to take over this responsibility. And it is that. You know, some people quibble about whether it's a burden or this and that, but it's clearly responsibility. And yeah, I think invest in yourself is the best way you can prepare yourself for that.
Do you ever feel any guilt for...
Tons.
What for what?
That you're
I
giving...
Even, I didn't even finish the question.
I know, but tons. I think that's
so
the thing.
Many ways.
You just feel like so much... How do I describe this? Okay, as a parent, I feel like... You ever feel like in comedy that... I don't know if you ever feel like this, but the words are right there, like at the tip of your tongue, and you have the stage presence. You know, all you need to do is figure out the right order of words.
Mm-hmm.
For jokes or for, it's like that. Like, I know I've got the tools that I could, in an ideal world, serve both of them. But how do you do it? That's where you feel the guilt.
Well, I mean, you live with your daughter right now. I'm sure you're spending as much or more time than most fathers are.
Right. Well, this is how I ended up living with my daughter. Two summers ago, my wife wasn't doing well, and she had some previous stint in a mental hospital, which didn't go well, and she was depressed again. And so I told her, you should go home to Sri Lanka to be with your family and just kind of recover. Well, then she didn't want to come back, is the long and the short of it. So then, like a year later, I was going back and forth every 6 weeks to Sri Lanka, which is 22 hours on a plane. Not fun.
Yeah, and expensive.
Yeah, so I would I gave up my apartment in New York, bounced around a little bit, and then the money I was going to spend on rent, I'd buy these flights. That's a different podcast. We can talk about that one. But in the end, she was dedicating so much time to my son that my daughter went to live with another family member of ours, like an aunt,
mm-hmm.
to live closer to this school. And that's when we decided she should come live with me, because I felt like
she needs a parent. She needs one of them at least.
Yeah. And I felt like if she's not going to live with her mom, well, she can definitely live with me.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's how you end up doing these things where you're trying to really focus on the kid who needs the immediate, obvious support. And then you kind of you can accidentally ignore the other child who is – my daughter was very gifted, went to like math camp and has done a lot of different gifted things. But I felt like I never really gave her the kind of support – that could have pushed her to the next level. I mean, she's doing great. She gets good grades. And
next level. She's 17. She'll be fine. She's a junior in high school.
She's a junior, but like...
Yeah, she'll be fine, dude.
She'll be good, but she could have done Ivy League, or she could have...
she still can.
She's going to be in the bubble. She's going to be in the bubble, grades-wise. I think she's like a 3.5 or something.
She'll be fine, man. Just tell them in the admissions to listen to this podcast. Oh my God, dear God!
What are her extracurricular activities? Well, she was an intern on her dad's podcast. Oh, that's interesting.
Listen,
no, she's done a ton of volunteer work.
Yeah, what she's gone through, and the empathy she's built, and I mean, just like helping her brother get dressed. Her post-pubescent brother get dressed, cleaning shit off walls.
Yeah, she's done
cleaning
that.
Peanut butter out of a DVD player, living in with your dad in a shoebox apartment, living with Sri Lanka with a depressed mom. Like, I mean, this is like, yeah, and she's getting 3.5. I mean, that's nuts.
No, she's a sharp kid.
Yeah, dude, you're doing great. You're doing your best.
I am doing my best. I don't know if I'm doing great, but
think
I'll take
about
that
it,
I'm
the,
doing my best.
The thing about it, I can say is from the sibling's perspective, is the other sibling's perspective is, kids aren't stupid, and they understand that it's hard for parents. Like, I understood that, you know, Peter needed a lot of attention, and I felt like I never felt. I would feel maybe if my brother was like really really handsome and he was a you know all star he was like a star quarterback and then he was getting the same amount of attention, I'd be like, ugh, I'd be so angry, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's you get it, and it teaches you empathy, and it teaches you. My parents love me, and that's all I needed to know. And they tried, you know. I mean, I don't think that, like, really, what are you going to do? You're gonna spend more time with your kid, and then your kid's going to hate you and be like, stop.
Yeah, that's true.
Stop.
You know what I think? You know what I think it teaches autistic siblings of autistic people is this sounds so trite, but that life is not fair. Like, it's like it's just not. And,
absolutely.
And
I learned that immediately.
Exactly.
I learned that when I was 5.
Exactly. Life's
not
fair.
Peter's different.
Right. And you're going to get less attention than some of your classmates. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're loved less.
Unless you go out of your way to be really funny.
Unless you overcompensate in some way. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we just found out why I'm a comedian. Go on. Anyway. Yeah.
No, that's it. Life's not fair. And so, I think it's a really important lesson that I jokingly, my senior quote in high school was, life's tough, then you die. But I think it's life's unfair and you do your best and then it's then you had a good ride. And it's
I like how you knew you were going to have a depressed wife and an autistic child when you were graduating high school. You're like, this is going to be rough.
When I was 18.
About to have a rough 20 years. Buckle up.
No, but I think I grew up in overseas, so in third world countries. And so I think that's clear there too. It's
you're the son of missionaries.
Yeah, my parents are missionaries. And so you work with the poor a lot, and you work with... And so the fact that somebody's poor or things aren't going well, that doesn't mean, in my opinion, that, oh, they must have been a jerk in a past life, or they must have... So everybody in Africa has bad karma? I don't know. I just think bad things happen to people. That's part of the experience, and you kind of suck it up, and you keep moving forward. Mm. That sounds a little trite, but that's how I feel.
I don't think it's trite at all. I think it's fair, and it'll make you stronger in the future. I don't know. I think there's a lot of... I do think that a lot of the mental depressive problems, not with your wife, but I think that happen amongst people of this generation growing up now, is because they were told everything's going to be perfect,
right,
by their parents and by everybody. And then it isn't. You realize when you're 16, 17 that life's hard. And then you get into your 20s and you're like, oh my God. We're in the 40s. They were like, everything's going to be tough. Expect some long winters.
And you're long winters. After you get syphilis, walk it off.
Yeah, and you're like, okay. No one had. I mean, I myself suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder.
How does that manifest itself? I don't know anything about that.
Well, I just, it got far more detailed than this, but I would have to touch everything 3 times.
Okay.
And on the third time, I had to have a perfect thought. And if I walked through a doorway and thought about a murderer or a...
Why are you thinking about murderers? I don't get it.
Just because your mind is like, screw you. Or I thought about something gross, right? Okay. A gross homeless person's face that was falling apart on the street, or a pedophile that I saw on the news, or something really bad.
Okay.
And my brain would be... And say that thought happened when I walked through a doorway, I would have to go, okay, I have to walk through this doorway 2 more times and think good thoughts. I would have a Rolodex go through my head of people that were thought were cool, like Michael Jordan or somebody like that. You know what I mean?
Somebody respect.
And then so I would just say these 10 names really quickly in my head as I walk through the doorway. So the gross name or the gross...
gets washed out somehow.
Or the gross thought of the pussy guy's face I saw would get washed out. And I do it 2 more times. So the two would be better than the one... And so that's 3. And on the third one, if I didn't do a good one, I'd have to do it 6 more times. So I would. I'd have
this is
to
a complicated math. I'd have to disability.
Do, I'd have to do so. It would be. I'd end up doing track. It 9 times because there'd be 2 more groups of 3 that'd be better than the tainted first group of 3. So I'd be walking through doorways 1,000,000 times, stepping back and forth, picking up pens, sitting down on the seats 1,000,000 times, and stuff like that. And I think that may be a manifestation of having a lot of stress growing up with an autistic son or whatever, and having or autistic brother. And then, but I also think that it was let to go too long. It was let by teachers, by everybody, going, you have a disease, you have a disease, you have a disease. Where I think in the 40s, people would be like,
tough it out.
They'd punch you in the face. Don't do that. And then you'd be like, oh, if I get punched in the face, I won't do that. And I ended up getting sent to like a boot camp for 2 years. And that was, it was only the drugs didn't make me stop, but that made me stop because it was I couldn't survive.
Right.
I had to learn to survive, not to do that.
I've thought about that, how we kind of baby each other. Cause and I'm not advocating this for all autistic kids, but my son had issues with his the foods that he would eat. He didn't like certain foods.
Yeah,
it's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
I don't like certain foods.
I was a young dumb parent, mm-hmm. and I don't know what I'm doing. And I felt like, listen, this is what we're buying. We kind of super healthy, and we're not buying other stuff. So if he's hungry, he's going to eat it eventually.
Yeah.
And we went through a rough couple months, but eventually now he eats everything. All his vegetables, it was a rough go there for a minute though, but that's how I feel. I feel like, listen, if you were wherever in the middle of nowhere in Siberia or whatever, Ethiopia or the Sudan, yeah. and this yeah. is what we had, you'd eat it.
Yep.
Now, I'm not talking about if he acts, you know, he's lactose intolerant or if he's allergic to shellfish, if you feed him shellfish, like, dies. But just some of this stuff, yeah, I've wondered about that, like how the tough love thing, how that works. So it worked for you.
Yeah, it totally worked for me. And now, I mean, it's still in the recesses of my brain, but it doesn't rule my life. Like, you just learn to control it out of survival.
That's weird.
I don't know. It is
not weird.
Not weird.
Interesting.
Anyway.
You got distracted. Sorry.
Let's do the weekly roundup. Weekly roundup is when we talk about things that happened to us this week. Last week I talked about my brother, calling my brother, and then he just happened to have a fire alarm going off in the background of his house.
I love it.
Anyway, what happened to you this week?
Well, the backstory on this one is my ex has had my son in Sri Lanka, and then... Because I think I told you earlier that she wanted to, she went home to be with her parents, or her dad, excuse me, her mom passed. And the short answer is, wanted to be there because we can hire people there, and so you can at least get him babysit. You can have somebody watch him at night. He doesn't sleep 5 hours a night. It didn't really work, the trip there. She attempted to take her life 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And so...
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, brutal deal for everybody.
But anybody who's listening to this and is like, man, really, it's tough having an autistic kid. And one of the things that'll help you with this podcast is you will know that you'll feel better because your life isn't as bad as Kirk's.
Yeah, really, you should feel good.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, I could only be that guy. Autistic kid.
No, sometimes I say that to people. I'm like, listen, you should be encouraged. You're not me, bro.
Yeah, but you wear a smile. You figure it out, man. That's gonna work out. I asked you before, like when I showed up to do this, you were like, how you doing, man? You're like, I'm doing great. I feel terrible because, I mean, when I talk to friends, or like, you know, they ask me how you doing, and I say great, and then 5 minutes later, I tell them my wife tried to commit suicide, and they're like, ugh. It's like you feel guilty actually, but it's like you have to sort of, it's gonna work out. And you live in a small apartment, but you live in Beverly Hills. Your kids doing your
I think everybody's life
doing well.
Has a ton of positives and a ton of negatives.
Yeah.
So what you're going to focus on? I mean, I'm in great health, which sounds corny until you're not in great health, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like being in good health. I have some family that's not, and it's great being in good health. Mm. My car's paid for. Comedy's going good. I make a living. My daughter loves me. She's not on drugs. She's not pregnant. I get along with my parents. You know, I don't have to reconcile or I don't know. I mean... Yeah, some things are not going great, but not everything doesn't go great for everybody all the time, so it's going to be fine. But her trying to take her life necessitated me taking my son back, which I'm totally on board with, but I have we describe it as a shoebox-size apartment. You've seen the size of this.
You can't fit. It's a stretch for you and your daughter.
For two people, yeah.
I mean, I actually have to commend you for how you've made it work. Like, she has her own little space. She has almost her own little room. It's like not... that bad, actually.
But for three people, it would be brutal.
Yeah.
And if one of them's autistic and doesn't sleep, nobody would sleep. He doesn't sleep 5 days a month, so roughly.
Yeah. Which is a lot, which is like we were talking about earlier. That's like how you torture people.
Yeah, that's exactly
how
you torture
people. If you're a parent, it's like you need to sleep.
Let's say you have a meeting, not a big meeting. I've got to do this today, and I've got some shows tonight, and I didn't sleep at all last night. I would not be funny. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a little grumpy. And a little on edge.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was sick or something, he stayed home. I mean, this is a tiny place. Anyway, so I'm trying to find him a place. So that's what we're doing right now. Find him a place. As soon as I get him a place, I'm going to go over and get him and bring him over here.
And,
so,
you're going through, like, you've expanded your search. You're going statewide.
Yeah. We started with West LA.
Yeah.
Then we did all of LA. Then we did LA Orange County. Then we did Southern Cal. And now we're doing statewide. Yeah. So... the prospects look decent in the sense that he's not a girl. It's even harder if he's a girl because
why?
At this age they start they're having their period and with somebody who's it's hard to explain the birds and the bees. Yeah, so you've got to explain to a young autistic girl that she's getting her period and she's not dying. And just like they sometimes wipe feces all over the wall, there's a whole hygiene issue around that.
Sure.
Plus, women, girls can be molested. Boys can too, but it's a little more common for women to be molested, especially if they're nonverbal. It's a very complicated... You know, this is one of the toughest decisions I've ever made to try to put him in a place. I felt like you're the parent. You should take care of your own, you know, and but at some point, it's just come a little earlier than I thought. I thought I'd at least have him until he was 18. So he's 16. He'll be 17 this year. And we're starting to look for a place. He's big, and by myself, I can't do it. So,
yeah.
And I feel guilt about that. So earlier, I feel guilt about, there's like 4 or 5 things I feel guilt about. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to be, he'll have a more stable environment. It sounds like right now he's like all over the map, and then he's got to like, you're going to see him all the time.
So. No, I can go take him out whenever I want. Yeah. I'll probably, my schedule's really flexible, so I'll probably go see him a few times a week, and then on the weekends.
Drive drunk on your motorcycle with him? Take him out.
Listen, we don't need to even talk about driving on a motorcycle with alcohol. I'm not even sure that ever happened. I'm just saying I'm not prepared to deny or...
Right, I understand. I'm just busting your...
But chops.
Yeah, chops. How clean do we want this podcast to be? We need to decide right now.
It could be as dirty as you want, but we don't need to talk about drunk driving.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
We have enough hate letters. So I think you feel the guilt. I think you feel guilt even though you know it's the right decision.
Yeah, well.
I don't think guilt's always logical.
No. Anyway, I think you'll be fine.
So that's what I'm doing.
Your kid's going to be fine.
I'm doing great. It's going to work out. I just need to find That's my big push right now. I need to find him a place. I'll go get him. And I'm pumped. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And he's going to have a sister, too. Your sister's going to have her brother back. She probably misses him.
She misses him big time, man. Yeah. So it's going to be good. I'm really pumped about it. It's good.
See? All right, everybody. This is the point. The point of the podcast is, I guess, you know, like it's finding humor in dealing with and, you know, and empathy and... You know, misery loves company and all that. And also, it's not even misery is the wrong word. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, I have more fun than not fun being the sibling of Peter, my brother. And I'm sure it's the same with your...
Yeah, I think it opens a different door of humor, too. I think there's nothing's off limits.
Oh, man. Anyway, but it also, the main point of this podcast is your life is not as bad as Kirk's. And if you think otherwise, I'd like you to tweet at us or email us or...
Could be worse. You could be Kirk. That might be our tagline.
Oh, man. Totally. Should we just call the weekly roundup? It could be worse. You could be Kirk.
I really like that, actually.
I love it.
I really like that.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have any questions or you think your life is worse than Kirk, you can tweet Kirk or Facebook him. Kirk Smith, @ Kirk Smith.
Twitter is Kirk Smith Comedy. Yeah.
Kirk Smith Comedy. I'm at Graham K Comedy, GRAHAM.
I'm at Facebook, Kirk Smith Comedian. Yeah.
Yeah, GRAHAMKAY Comedy. All right, everybody. Thanks very much. And next week, we are going to be talking about sexuality.
Sexuality
is a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's also a hilarious one. In my experience,
I think I've got some stories.
Oh my god! Okay, I can't wait. Next week, living with autism and teaching them sexuality and figuring it out. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Okay, bye.